Wow. Wow. Thank you. Please have a seat. I'm not used to being up here either, by the way. No, I'm not used to standing in front of adults and, you know, I stand in front of kids all day, every day. But this is a privilege to stand in front of you and to be able to share what God's been working in my heart and been showing me. And before we get started, I want to ask you a question. And believe me, I've asked myself this question. But do you ever get tired? It's kind of an easy one, yeah. Okay. What, do you ever get burnt out? I mean, just burnt out, wasted, tired, fatigued. You ever get really, really excited about something, excited about some endeavor? I know, you know, several weeks back the world out there was making New Year's resolutions. They were, I'm going to start this, or I'm going to stop this. they were making some kind of resolution about what they're going to do. And usually when we do that, I mean, I've done it. I'm excited. I remember about 20 years ago, I decided that I am going to start working out 5 days a week. I'm hitting the gym. And I was excited. I was fired up. I went out and bought workout clothes. I went out and joined the gym. I had cute workout clothes. I went, like, looked at all the schedules to find out every kind of class I could take. I could go on this day after work and this day before work, and I had it all planned out, and I started, and I did it, and I was going, and I was going, and I was going, and I got kind of tired of doing it. And it finally got to the point after a certain amount of time that I didn't even want to drive by the gym, let alone set foot in it. I went out of my way to avoid driving by it. That's how tired I was of the gym. Well, it's easy to hang in there when the going gets tough, when you're motivated. I mean, there was cute boys at the gym, and that was a good motivation to go, you know. They would talk to you, and you could talk to them, and you could work out. But even after a while, even that, I got kind of old. And let's just take the word for example. Let's be honest. Let's take the word for example. It's easy to devote time to studying and believing the word when conditions are right. When, like when we're at camp, that is great. It's easy. We're there. You're there. We're all there. We're excited to be there. Or maybe it's easier when people we live with are into it too. You know, we live with believers. Oh, then it's easy to kind of be into it, you know, to be excited about it. It's easy to be excited about it when we see something new, quote unquote, new. But it's easy to keep our heads in the word in those kind of situations. But what happens when that motivation is gone? I mean, what happens when our friends are no longer excited about getting together and studying every single night of the week for an hour? What happens when that thing that we saw in the Word that was new and exciting isn't new anymore? What happens when conditions are no longer conducive to studying the Word, to keeping your head in it? What happens when we have to come back from camp, when we come home, and we're back to the daily grind? It's easy to see that motivation from outside sources can come and go. It's easy to see that. But what keeps us going with the things of God and in our walk with God, what keeps us going even when we get tired, even when we get a little worn out, what keeps us going, what keeps believers going, is God's promise of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've confessed Romans 10:9-10, if you are born again, if you believe that Jesus Christ gave his life, redeemed mankind, and was buried, and God got him up. If you believe that, then you have hope. Then you can believe that he's coming again. And simply put, the hope is our lasting motivation. The hope is what keeps us going. And not only is the hope a motivation, but it's also a great comfort. Knowing our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back not only comforts us, it's a great motivation too. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start reading in verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and..." There it is again. "We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" Let's skip down to verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, these verses are talking about our hope. And God tells us in verse 58 that our labor, our hanging in there, our faithfulness in pressing on and studying and believing the word of God, isn't in vain. In Hebrews it says he's going to reward us. He is a God that will reward us. And this, what we're doing when we walk with God, when we study the word, when we believe the word, it's not in vain. God's going to reward that. And you know, that's real motivating to keep on going. God knew we were going to need motivating. He knew we were going to get tired. He knew we were going to burn out a little bit. He knew that we would need motivation and comfort because he knew we were going to have to deal with some stuff here on earth. I mean, that's just the way it is, guys. You got to deal with it. And God knew that. I mean, God knew we were all going to come to Point Loma Fellowship this morning and, you know, some of us needed to hear those manifestations. Some of us really needed to hear and get built up by that testimony Cheryl gave and the testimony Kent and Pam gave. I mean, God knew all this. This didn't all happen by accident. And God knew we were going to need to be motivated and we were going to need to be comforted. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, the pressures of this world are only alleviated when we believe the word of God. That's the only time that pressure lets up, is when we believe the word. And it goes without saying that when a brother or sister in Christ falls asleep, when a brother or sister in Christ dies, that's one of the hardest challenges to face. It is. It's heartbreaking. It hurts. But God made a provision. God gives us comfort in his word. Let's go to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to start in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. God's encouragement is us for to comfort one another with the hope. That is the hope. And I've been in situations where a loved one has died, a believer has died, and sometimes you just don't know what to say. You know, sometimes your mind just, you don't know what to say. But God tells us what to say. God tells us to comfort one another with the hope. With the hope that Jesus Christ's return. And you don't need comfort when everything is smooth sailing. You need it in the most, I think, in times like this. In situations like this. And the hope comforts us in so many ways. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 6 real quick. It comforts us in so many ways. It comforts us regarding believers who've fallen asleep. It comforts us regarding how we're going to be changed when Jesus Christ comes back. Did you see that twice? We will be changed. It comforts us there. It comforts us regarding how we're going to forever be with the Lord. That's a comfort to my heart. It should be a comfort to all of our hearts. And it motivates us to keep going with our walk with God, because God says our labor isn't in vain. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about the hope being an anchor of our soul. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm just going to read verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The hope of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is an anchor to our soul. You know, if a ship's properly anchored, it doesn't, drift off. It can rock a little. It may. It may rock a little. But it's not going to drift. It's not going to drift off course. It's not going to drift from where it's anchored. It's certainly not going to get tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back keeps us from being blown all about. It keeps us anchored. It's the anchor of our soul. And I just want to share with you guys real quick a little bit about an attitude that I've had about the hope. And I know I'm not the only one that's done this. So, here it goes. I've made a comment before like, I wish the Lord would just hurry up and come back. I am so ready to get out of here. Or, I really could use that new body right about now. And one time I heard someone say, they were talking about another believer. when Jesus Christ comes back, I'll have a perfectly renewed mind, and then I'm sure I'll be able to deal with that person. Come on, all right? And although it's true, it is true. We are ready. When we hear that trump, we are ready. We are ready to get on with it. We are. And we're looking forward to all that is going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back. But let's not forget about right now. Those great future realities aren't any bigger than the great realities that God has made us to be right now, the great realities that God has done for us right now. Right now is what we've got. The hope is the hope. It's in the future. But right now, we've been given so much. Let's not minimize in our minds. And that's what I was doing. I was kind of minimizing in my mind. I know God made me. Okay, I know I'm a son. I know I can walk in power. I know. But when Jesus Christ comes back, man, then I'm really going to. No. I can do it now. I can do it right now. Right now. We are sons of God and we can walk in God's power. Right now, we can renew our minds to the word. Right now. Right now, we can minister healing to someone. And right now, we can be healed. There's testimonies of it. Right now, we can walk with authority over the evil one because we know who we are in Christ. Right now. Right now, we can build up, comfort, edify, and minister grace to each other because of what God has done for us right now. Are we as excited about that as we are about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you know, when you're excited about something, I mean, I'm speaking personally now. When I'm excited about something, I get like a buzz in my stomach. I'm like, whoa, all right, you know? Am I as buzzed about that as I am about what God has made me to be right now? Am I as excited about that? Yeah. I'm getting there. Yeah. Yeah. The more I think about it, yeah. I've never thought about it that way, but yeah, I am. I am excited. And our hope is what encourages us to continue to believe that we are who God says we are and that we can do all that God says we can do right now. And even though the pressures of this world are there, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's not forget about right now. Yeah, we're looking to the hope. We are so excited that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. What we got right now is what we got right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And there are pressures in this world. And we can be excited about what we can do right now, even though we face pressure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you know the word says about pressures? This is their light affliction. Relatively speaking, the pressures of this world are light affliction. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's the light affliction part. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, I used to read that verse and I used to think, well, light affliction. Sometimes it doesn't feel so light. Sometimes it feels kind of heavy. What's up with that, God? But, you know, I realized that was when I was trying to carry that around by myself instead of giving it to God. Remember, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. I was trying to carry it myself and that's why it was heavy. But the word calls it light. God's word says it's light affliction. And he says it's for a moment. It's just for a moment. The things that God offers are so much bigger and better for us than the things that this world offers. And the things of this world that seem so permanent really aren't. The word calls them temporary. God offers things that are good for all eternity. He offers us eternity. And God offers us hope. And it will happen in a moment. Let's close back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read verse 52 again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, our moments on here pass very quickly on earth. The older my son gets, the more I realize that. Our moments here on earth pass quickly. And, you know, honestly, some of my moments I'd rather soon forget. I don't know about you, but I've had a few moments in my time where I just rather forget those moments. And some of our moments may be very, very difficult, no doubt about it. But there is a moment coming when our light affliction will pass. And all of the obstacles, all of the obstructions and distractions around us will be changed, will be gone. And the distractions within us will be changed. And when we need comfort, we can think of that. We can think of that moment, the moment of our hope. We can take comfort knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back, and then we can keep right on going with all that God has given us right now. Right now. Because our hope isn't just some future event. Our hope isn't just something that's going to happen in the future, you know, at some time. It's like it's an attitude we can have right now. It's an attitude knowing that what's going to happen in a moment. It's an attitude fueled by a knowledge of what's going to happen in a moment. So that's what I wanted to share with you about the hope. My encouragement to you is to think about the hope. Be excited about the hope. It's exciting. And be just as excited about all that God has made you to be right now.